This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Well, we're slowly coming back, as David said, slowly getting back into it. Now, if you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, David's been speaking to us as a church on the mercy of God. If you haven't got those messages, you can get last week's. We did have a few hiccups with our sound equipment. I know you probably didn't even notice that, did you, over the times? You didn't even notice that we had it. So we don't have the first message, but we have last week's message. If you haven't got that, get online and have a listen to it, because David shared a great message on the mercy of God. And so we're going to follow on from that today. I'm just going to... Did you put my... Oh, thank you, David. Welcome back. It's so good to have boys up in the booth, isn't it? So good. So... there's just a couple of statements I want to look at, just sort of from the message basically last week that David shared with us. And this is one of them. This church needs to be a church that screams mercy. That really impacted me. This church, Montbold Christian Fellowship, needs to be a church that screams mercy. The next one was, kindness is an expression of mercy. So today we're going to look at kindness. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, when we think of the word kindness, sometimes I think we don't give it as much credit as it needs. It's one of those words that we sort of think, it kind sort of feels like a weak sort of word. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't, there's not much oomph in that. But I'm here today to change your mind about that, because kindness is very powerful. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. David said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, to put it simply, what it looks like in this house to show mercy is to be kind. Kindness is an expression of mercy. So today we're going to look at kindness. We're going to look at what it looks like, who we should be kind to, when we should be kind, why we should be kind, and how do we actually do it. So the first thing we're going to look at is, what does it look like to be kind? So here's the definition out of the Strong's of kindness. Goodness in action. Sweetness of disposition, gentleness in dealing with others, benevolence. The word describes the ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. Strong's, when you look up a word, there's always a little at the end. We know that, you know, goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, gentleness in dealing with people. And then they've got to throw in that bit about people who tax your patience. So I want you to keep that in your mind when I'm talking about kindness, when we're talking about all these things. Keep in mind those who may be taxing your patience at the moment. Okay, so what does kindness look like? The best description I could find in the Bible of kindness comes from Matthew. So let's have a look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. That is what kindness is. He gives us a list. He shows us exactly how to do it. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. It's very practical things. These aren't metaphors or something that we've got. What did he mean by that? What did he mean when he said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat? He meant, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. So he's saying, when you see someone who's hungry, be kind to them. Give them something to eat. When you see someone who's thirsty, he actually means give them something to drink. If they've got nothing to wear, give them something to wear. He's very literal about it. So that, to me, gives me a good description of kindness. That gives me somewhere to go with what I'm supposed to do. It's very black and white. It's laid out. Do this, do this, do this. Feed them, clothe them, go visit them, be a friend to them. So them, who are them? Who should I be kind to? There are two groups of people we should be kind to. Just two. Each other and our enemies, which is everybody. Not, I don't mean our enemies are everybody. I mean those two areas cover everybody. The people we like and the people we don't like. So there's only two lots of people you have to be kind to. Be kind to one another. Our key verse today back in Ephesians told us that. Be kind to one another. And then in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11, it says this. So 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your election and call sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're to be kind to each other. That's easy. I can be kind to you. I like you. It's easy to be kind to someone we like. It's easy. But you know he doesn't leave it there. It's like that little bit at the end that says, those taxing your patience that you wish you never read. He tells us we have to be kind to our enemies. You know, even an unbeliever can be kind. I know plenty of kind people who do kind things, random acts of kindness. I actually looked up, you know, random acts of kindness, and there's loads of stuff. There's loads of things where people have done kind things and, but they don't believe in Jesus. And so there's a difference because there usually means they're being kind to people they like, or people they think deserve kindness. That's what we do. When we want to do an act of kindness, we look at some who deserves to have some kindness shown to them today. Who can I do a special treat for? We look for someone who we think deserves it. We don't want to do something for someone we don't think deserves it, but the Bible tells us that if we only show kindness to the ones we love or who we think deserve it, then we're no different to anybody else. We're no different to the world. If we only show each other in the house kindness, then we're really no different to the footy club or the cricket club or any other club, because they're kind to each other. We need to be different. God's calling us to a different level. He's called us to be something more than that. We're required to go a step further. Jesus talks about radical kindness, being kind to your enemy kind of kindness, giving undeserved kindness. When was the last time you went out and looked, now who do I really think doesn't deserve to have a kind thing done? Let me see. Can I find the most undeserving, wretched person? That's who I'm going to do kindness to. That's outrageous. Who does that? We should. That's different. I don't see anybody else in the world doing that. I don't see anybody else in the world going out looking, I'll just look for the most awful, undeserving person I can find, and that's who I'm going to give my act of kindness to. We want to be a light in a dark place. We want to shine in a dark place. Then we need to step up and do something different to what's happening out there already. And let me tell you, that's different. That's different to what's happening out there already. Luke 6, 32 to 36 tells us that. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Jesus is basically saying, don't come and tell me about all the good things you've done for people who love you. What? So what? You should be doing that. You should. That's just, you know, when my kids come and tell me when they were smaller, when they lived at home, and they would come and say, oh, guess Mum, I cleaned my room. Great. So you should. Don't. That's wonderful, but that's expected of you. You live in this house. You're part of our family. That's just expect. Don't come and ask for extra credit because you've done something you should be doing anyway. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Don't come and tell me how well you've loved each other in the house. That is good. That's what you should be doing. But that's just what you do because you're part of a family and you love each other, and that's what you do anyway. He says, even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who only do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. When was the last time you lent something to someone and said, I hope they never give it back? I hope they never give that back to me and I never get anything back in return. That's outrageous. I'm going to say the word outrageous a lot today because what Jesus is asking us to do is outrageous. It goes beyond our natural inclination. It goes beyond our comfort zone. It is outrageous to lend something to somebody hoping I really hope I never get anything back from them. Outrageous. But the Bible tells us to do that. Why? Your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. That's outrageous. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. When I was still a sinner, when I was unkind and unthankful and evil, when he didn't know that he would get anything back from me, he showed the ultimate act of kindness and mercy. Outrageous. Okay. When should I be kind? Remember, kindness is goodness in action. You know, we hear goodness and kindness, you know, that goodness and kindness are often put together. The difference between those is goodness is what's in you. Goodness is what's on the inside of you. It's what's in you. Kindness is that coming out of you. Does that make sense? The goodness is in you and kindness comes out of that. Kindness is the way we show that goodness. So when should I be kind? Well, there's only one time you should be kind, and that's always. Making it simple today, only two sorts of people you should be kind to, and only one time you have to remember to be kind, always. John Wesley said, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Always. In Barnes's commentary, he says, you know, sometimes we think, yeah, but really there's got to be a limit to that, really. Let's be practical. Let's be practical about it. There's got to be a limit to how kind I can be, how much I can love someone. Barnes says there's no danger of carrying it too far. Let the rule be observed. As God has forgiven you, so do you forgive others. Let a man recollect his own sins and follies. Let him look over his life and see how often he has offended God. Let him remember that all has been forgiven. And then, fresh with this feeling, let him go and meet an offending brother and say, my brother, I forgive you. I do it rankly, fully, wholly. So Christ has forgiven me, so I forgive you. The offence shall be remembered no more. It shall not be referred to in our contact to harrow up your feelings. It shall not diminish my love for you. It shall not prevent my uniting with you in doing good. Christ treats me, a poor sinner, as a friend, and so I will treat you. When should you be kind? All the time. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Well, that all sounds good, you know, but why? Why? Why should I be kind? Well, there's lots of reasons why we should be kind. I want to look at a few today. Firstly, let's look at Titus 3. Titus 3, 1 to 7. Okay, Titus 3, starting at verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But... I love the buts. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Firstly, we should be kind because God showed kindness to us. That's the first reason. When we didn't deserve it, when we were hateful and hating one another, the kindness and the love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared. That's the first reason, the ultimate reason, because God was kind to us. Secondly, because Jesus told us we should. You know, sometimes we try and analyse everything so much and it comes down to it. He said it, we should do it. Luke chapter 6. You can write these scriptures down and have a look at them at home. Luke 6:35 says, love your enemies and be kind and do good. I'm reading this one out of the Amplified Bible because it just brings it out a bit more. But love your enemies and be kind and do good. Doing favours so that someone derives benefit from them, and lend, expecting and hoping nothing in return, but considering nothing as lost and despairing of no one, and then your recompense, your reward will be great, rich, strong, intense and abundant, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind and charitable and good to the ungrateful and the selfish and wicked. So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive and compassionate, even as your Father is all these. Why are we kind? Because he says so. I've heard myself saying that so many times in my house. Why, Mum? Because I said so. Because I know better. Because I know what's good for you. You haven't matured fully. You don't know always why I ask you to do something, but you just have to trust me that if I ask you to do it, I'm doing it because it's good for you. Sometimes we don't have to understand every detail of what Jesus is saying to us. We need to be people of the word. If it says it, I believe it. And that settles it. That's just how it is. He says it, there must be a reason why we have to do it. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So I was thinking about that this morning. And I thought, I know that. If you love me, You will want to obey my commandments. It's not the other way around if, you know, obey my commandments and then you love me. It's if you love me out of your heart, you will just want to do what I've asked you to do. And I thought about that a bit more and I've realised in the light of thinking about being kind to an enemy or an even someone who may not be someone who you think is an enemy but someone who you don't think deserves it. It's really got nothing to do with how you feel about that person. We need to stop looking at that person. It's not about how you feel about that person, but it has everything to do with how you feel about Jesus. It has everything to do with how you feel about him. He says, if you love me, you will do what I've asked you to do. And he's asked us over and over again in the Bible about being kind to each other and to our enemies. And he says, if you love me, you won't look at the person. You'll be looking at me. It's not how you feel about the person. Nothing to do with it. They don't even come into it, but it has got everything to do with how you feel about him. Thirdly, we should be kind so that we can have strong foundations and not stumble. This surprised me. I didn't realise that being kind to other people had anything to do with the way I was building my house, really. I didn't put the two together. Luke 6, 46 to 49. It's about building the house. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he looks like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What am I saying? Jesus is saying here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? He's told us clearly to be kind to each other, to love our enemies. He's given us instructions how to do it in Matthew, step by step. And then he says to us, why do you call me your Lord, your master, and you're not doing what I've asked you to do? Let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't. Your house won't stand. My foundation, my ability to be able to stand and to be built on the rock has everything to do with how kind I am to other people. Everything to do with it. Because Jesus told me to do it. And the word clearly says, if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, your foundations are going to be weak. Things are going to come against you in your life and you're not going to be able to stand up to them the way you should. And we try sometimes, this bad thing is coming against me and I feel weak and I can't. And we try and work, what have I done? And I mustn't be praying enough or I mustn't be doing this enough. You know, we neglect to look at the things that Jesus told us to do, like be kind to each other, love one another, forgive each other. We don't like to think about that. We think it must be some spiritual attack. And sometimes it is, you know, hear what I'm saying, sometimes it is. But, you know, this is something we should look at. The Bible's very clear. You want a firm, strong foundation built on the rock that when the storm comes against it, you want to stand. Do what I asked you to do. Be kind to each other and to those who are your enemies, who don't deserve it. We've also read, you know, Peter, when we read that before, it talked about brotherly kindness. I just want to look at that a bit further in 2 Peter 1, where it talked about adding brotherly kindness to our faith. And, you know, it says in there, if we do that, you won't be barren, you won't be unfruitful, you won't be short-sighted. I want to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be fruitful in that. I don't want to be barren. And it also says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. So it's just a confirmation of the scripture before when it says being kind to each other and to our enemies has everything to do with our foundation and how we will stand. Being kind to others actually benefits us. Have you ever noticed that about God? Usually he asks us to do something so outrageous that we think it's not fair. Why are you asking me to do that? And really he's saying, if you just do what I ask you to do, you don't understand what it's going to do for you. I'm asking you to do these things for you as well. The last thing I want to look at, why we should be kind to each other, is found in Zechariah. So Zechariah 7, and this one surprised me a little bit too. I'll just find it. Zechariah chapter 7. And I'll start at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." But they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed that they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. I don't want us to make our pleasant land desolate. God has spoken a word over this house about Mombolk and about how he has good things, and it's a good and a pleasant and a desirable land. Do you remember that? All the things that he's... We love hearing that. I love hearing that. But we need to do what he's asked. We don't want to make that turn into a desolate, desolate land. So what am I saying? We need to be kind, outrageously kind, unreasonably kind, ridiculously kind. Where? In Mombok, in Emerald, Cockatoo, Macclesfield, wherever it is that you live, if you're part of this house, we need to be, even in Tacoma, you even need to be kind in Tacoma, way down off the mountain. It's off the mountain. Once you go through, anyway, we won't get into that. Once you go through Belgrave, you're off the mountain. Oh, it's a Mad Mile. Is that, oh, okay. Sorry. No, but anywhere we live, you know, God seriously has said some awesome things about Mombok. It's a desirable land, fruitful, plentiful, and it belongs to you. Let's not, through anything we've done or not done, make that desolate. We need to be outrageously kind, the sort of kind that people stand up and take notice of, because it seems so ridiculous. So, if that's the case, how can I be kind? Now, when I talk about how can I be kind, I'm not talking about, I'm not going to give you a list of you go and do A, B, C, and D. God will tell you that. He will show you. He's already said in Matthew, these are the sorts of things I want you to look out for. I want you to keep your eyes open for people that are hungry. I want you to keep your ears open to hear about people who need to be visited. He's already given us the how. What I'm talking about is, how can you expect me to do that, God? How can you expect me to look for unreasonable, undeserving people? That is just far too much. That is far too much to ask me to do, God. To be kind to people that don't like me, that speak meanly about me, that have never done anything for me, that's just, that you've pushed the envelope now, God. That's just too much. We do that by our actions because we judge people before we're kind to them. The only way that we can be kind, the way the Bible teaches us to be kind, the love your enemies, outrageous sort of kind, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And if it's a fruit of the Spirit, it means it's not something you can do. It's not something you can grow. It's not something you can produce of your own. The only way that you are going to be able to be outrageously, unreasonably kind is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to stop. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You need to stop trying to be kind on your own terms. We need to stop that. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Let's have a look at it. Galatians 5. We need to remind ourselves often about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us it's by the way we love each other. It's by the way we love each other that they're going to know who we are. That they're going to know that we're different somehow. It's by the way we love each other and love our enemies. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, chapter 5, starting at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, are you Christ today? Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The only way we can display true kindness is by living in the Spirit. We have no business acting like the world. We can't help it. The world can't help it. The world can't help it. They're under that. They're under that curse. They're under that law. They haven't accepted Jesus yet. We need to show them a better way. We need to show them the way to Jesus. Has our flesh truly been crucified? If it has, we're under no obligation to behave the old way. You know, I see that out in the world. It's evident. Adultery, fornication, lewdness, sorcery, hatred, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. We shouldn't see any of that in this house. We shouldn't see any of that in our homes. It needs to be the fruit of the Spirit. We want to be a house. I want this to be a house that screams mercy. Not a whisper, not a little every now and then. I want us to be a house that impacted me, that screams mercy. That's powerful. The first thing that people see, wow, wow, look at that. That's ridiculous. I want to be walking down the street of Mombolk and I want to hear people talking. And I want to hear them talking about some ridiculous kind thing that happened to someone who didn't deserve it. And I want them to hear where it came from, that it came from this house. We want to be a house built on a firm foundation, a house that doesn't stumble, a bright light in a dark world. We have to show the world that we're different. And when I mean different, I don't mean different. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean different. Wow, they're different. They're a bit wacky over there. We're normal. As far as normal gets, let me look. Yep, we're all normal. We're normal people, and people need to know that about us. They need to know that we are like them, except there is something different. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We're normal in the light of we go to work. We live in families. We have to interact with other people. We face the same. We have to obey the law. I got my first speeding ticket. Thank you, Catherine. Oh, well done. Oh, thanks. You know, I have to obey the law just like everybody else. And if I don't, I get a speeding ticket. All right? We're normal. We're like everybody else. I have to go home and do my dishes that I didn't do last night. I don't know, is that normal? Is that normal? Okay. You know, we have to do normal things, but what I'm saying, so I don't want, you know, what's that saying that you can be of such heavenly, in heavenly places that you know earthly good? Heavenly, you know, so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. We need to be of some good right here, right now. You know, it's good for us, and I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't be spiritual. and all of those things. But, you know, we need to be careful that when we're out in the world, that we show the world, you know, I'm just like you. I face the same things you face. But let me tell you, this is how I deal. This is how I get through with, you know, I get through life. I've got the Holy Spirit. They need to see a but. They need to see a but in our life. You know what? They're just like me and they've gone through the same thing I've gone through, but why is she so happy? Why is he able to just keep going to that, you know, being nice to that person? Do you know what kindness does? I worked in Safeway for a long time and you meet some really nice people, but you also meet some people that aren't very happy. And when you work behind a register, they think they can tell you that, don't they, Jean? They think they can tell you how unhappy they are and that somehow it's your fault that they're unhappy. And, you know, I learnt over those years that the best way I could deal with that was to smile at them. And I don't mean a condescending, like, I mean a real, you know what, I see what's coming in, but I choose to smile at you anyway. That break, you have no idea. Kindness is powerful. Don't ever think that it's a mamby-pamby type of fruit of the spirit that is just an add-on. It is powerful. It breaks down walls when you're kind to someone. It breaks down walls when someone knows when they're treating you bad. You know, if I've treated someone badly, I know it. I know when I've been rude to someone or I've been mean. And then if they come up and do something kind to me, I know that that's not normal, that no normal person could do that. People out there will know, you know, when they've treated you badly and then you go and do something nice for them that they didn't deserve, don't you think that's going to have an impact on their life? That's going to impact their life. We learned a song in Sunday school at the Salvation Army called J-O-Y, Joy. J-O-Y, I'm not singing it, J-O-Y, this must surely be Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that has stuck with me. If you want joy in your life, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. I want this house, God wants this house to be a house that screams mercy. How do we show mercy? By being kind, outrageous, undeserved, unmerited kindness. My challenge to you this week, here it comes. You go out and you find the most undeserving. The most person that you think is the most undeserving. And you do some kindness to them. And I don't mean something you think you would is kind. You do something you know they will like, something they know, and that will impact their life. And you just see what it does. Man, you'll feel good. You will feel good as well. But it will impact their lives. I guarantee it. Let's stand.
Karen just gave that challenge. I was just sitting there thinking, I've got to get up and just say exactly the same thing. How about we take this up and do it? I want to hear about it. Yeah. I want to hear about it. Get back to the office, send in reports. You know, if you can give details, give that, if that's appropriate. But I want to hear about it. I want us to stir one another and provoke one another up in this. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It does us good. It builds our faith to know, you know, to hear those stories. And those testimonies. So let's do that. So remember this week, still be kind to each other because we should. But that's what you should be doing anyway. And you shouldn't need reminding of that all the time. We shouldn't need to be reminded of that. I don't need to be reminded to be nice to Charlie. Sometimes I need to be reminded. I have to be careful. No, it just comes naturally. I love him. I love my children. I want to give them good things. We love each other. We want to be kind to each other. But let's take it to the next level. You know, let's step it up. Let's be outrageous, Bible sort of kind. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that when you ask us to do things that seem outrageous, and God, this seems just so outrageous to us, that you would possibly ask us to be kind to those who tax our patience, who time after time let us down or talk about us or don't behave nicely to us, Lord. But when we remember, God, that that's exactly how we were. That's exactly how I was. God, I must have tested your patience so many times. And I still test your patience, Lord. But yet, you are so kind and good to me, Lord. You show me your kindness every day. You showed your kindness when you came, Jesus, and you gave the ultimate act of kindness. It wasn't random. It was deliberate that you came and you showed and revealed your kindness to me. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint and empower each one of us this week to go out and to be outrageously kind to our community, outrageously kind to those who you tell us to be kind to, Lord God. Open our ears, open our eyes, show us who and how we can outwork this in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you've opened your word to us today, that you've enlarged our hearts, and that you go with us and equip us and enable us. Amen. Amen. Bless you, everybody. Be outrageously kind this week.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.